Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/Watson Assistant.
Yo, Sedano with you here on 710 ESPN, presented by Progressive Insurance. All our guests, like our friend Clint Yates, appear via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. This segment brought to you by our friends at the Home Depot. You can download their app. So, Clinton, a couple of things. Ramona just tweeted
a clip. We weren't going to talk about this.
No, I'm kidding.
A clip from Vanity Fair. Mm-hmm. Damian Lillard did an interview with Vanity Fair. It's a, you know, your typical Q&A, you know, and, you know, one of them was, when the season shut down, the Trailblazers were in ninth place. If you move up to eighth, you could play the Lakers in the first round. You want that? Of course, I think we could beat them. That's not even the fun part, okay, or the controversial part. The next question is, as a Knicks fan, the writer apparently is a Knicks fan, I wish you would come here. Madison Square Garden is so great. Damian Lillard's response, I thought I was headed there a few years ago. I was hearing trade rumors. The Garden is my favorite place to play. If you're a Knicks fan, all this stuff is just cruel and unusual punishment where all these guys talk about how much they love playing at the Garden. But they really, what they love is they love dropping 50 at the Garden.
Right. So that one time they have to go, they can get all the love from the New York crowd. But this, you know what this reminds me of? This reminds me of the channel of programming that we have in sports now that I'm not disrespecting. I just don't understand the purpose of it for some people, which is the let's redraft something from way back and then extrapolate on all the things that could have happened. It's like for certain fans, you see something like that, you're like, oh my God, I'm going to be thinking for the next 3 hours about the next 5 years of the season of my life that I spent wondering what could have been. If I'd never known, I wouldn't have been upset about it. It's like redrafts and stuff like that. I'm like, keep me away. I've rooted for too many bad teams to know that I don't want to know what could have happened. That's why I'm so upset to begin with.
Well, Knicks fans have that a ton because let's face it, the Steph Curry, they could have had Steph Curry right in the draft, you know, and by the way, that draft, I mean, the Knicks get a lot of grief for the Steph Curry draft, but the team that should get the most grief is our boy, David Kahn over, when he was running Minnesota. He took Ricky Rubio and Johnny Flynn.
That was amazing. I forgot about that. Johnny Flynn. That's a
Syracuse.
Is Johnny Flynn, what's Johnny Flynn doing these days?
No, I don't know. It's not professional, but it's not the NBA, that's for sure.
Wow, man. I forgot.
I could Google Johnny Flynn right now.
No, we don't need to go on about the virtues of Johnny Flynn's career. I'm just saying. That's my whole point is, when you get too caught up in things that coulda, woulda, shoulda, you end up not going anywhere. Oh, what a terrible mental exercise.
The other thing I want to get to with the NBA is I saw this quote from Joel Embiid, right? And I think you and I talked about it last week, right? Where they're so boomer bust, right? Like you could see that team being like, oh man, wow, they made it to the finals, or oh wow, they got swept in the first round. They're just that team, right? So Embiid was talking to one of the local reporters and, you know, it gets aggregated and all that stuff. And he says, I've got something to prove. Like, I got to show people that I can do what I'm capable of doing. So he's putting he says, I got to put the pressure on myself, et cetera, et cetera. So whether it could be Embiid or not, but if you're just listing, just like, give me like three players that you say right now, or maybe even five, right? Beyond the obvious, LeBron, Kawhi, right? Like Giannis, like take those guys out. Who are players that you're looking at this postseason that have some semblance of pressure on them, whether that's pressure to win because of the team success, because maybe a contract's coming up? It could be any reason.
George, this is a very good question, and I'm going to answer it as the best of my ability, but you describing what Embiid said sent me on a wild mental image of me thinking that that might actually happen. Like, this might be the exact way that you get Embiid motivated and on a sprint run and the Sixers actually do something. And I got distracted because I started thinking about then what that would mean for the Embiid legacy. Which, like, what if the Sixers win this one? Like the short, weird one. You know what I'm saying? And Embiid then goes back to whatever I won one. You know what I'm saying? And this ends up being it because it was like just oddball of enough of a situation for him to get his head back in the game, really focus for a short go. And then that's all that happened. Wow. Anyway, sorry. I'm thinking about the Sixers now being really good. now I'm totally distracted. No, well, you know what? Can I ask you back, since I'm not thinking about that? How real do you think that is for Joel Embiid? You know what I'm saying? Like, what do you think the chances are that this becomes, like, the year or whatever after the break? That he, like, locks it in. Ben Simmons is beasting out of control because you can see him on the weights. And all of a sudden, the Sixers, like, actually do it. Am I... Am I crazy for this daydream at this moment?
No, I don't think it's crazy. I don't think it's crazy at all, to be honest with you. Like, I think that that team is super talented, and I think he's unbelievably talented. And he's got himself to blame in a lot of ways. Not the injury stuff, because some of that is just, you know, you can't count on that, right? Like, it just sometimes it's freak stuff. But he's been out of shape for a long time, right? Like, that's on him.
Right.
And, you know, Shaq goes out there and motivates him, right? And he goes on national television, yeah, I need that. Shaq called me out. He's right, blah. It shouldn't be about that. You know what I'm saying? Like, you've got a small window in this life, particularly as a professional athlete, to capitalize. You've got two of the most talented guys on a roster together who are young, who can make an impact. It's on them to figure it out. So, but to your point, yes, like I think they're capable of winning the whole thing if they really wanted to. Now, I think the roster construction is not as ideal. It was actually better 2 years ago when they were younger, which is weird.
True.
But they've got the talent to win the East. Like, I don't think I picked them in the preseason, for God's sake.
I know. That's why I asked you, because this, you sold me with that daggone dis. I can't stop thinking about this. Anyway, okay. So to answer your question, though, the thing is that I don't know how large that list is, because the people at the top are the ones where the storylines are most competitive about what to prove, and everybody else, I don't know how much of a real chance they have. You know, LeBron's got to, you know, LeBron doesn't have anything to prove, but he's got something to prove locally in terms of, you know, the Planet LeBron project. Giannis obviously has a lot to prove. You know, the Clippers have a lot to prove locally because of whatever, but it's not like Kawhi has anything to prove,
right?
You know, and then that gets you back over to the East for a second team, and that's Philly, and that's Embiid, and he's kind of in a singular position.
Right.
With that squad. I mean, people have talked about them. Experts like yourself have picked them to go to the finals. I don't really know that there's any player that has a similar situation that's not already in that top echelon, which is what makes the Sixers arguably the most exciting watch of the playoffs at this point.
I'll give you James Harden, too, right? I know recently, you know, Daryl Morey came out and said he hasn't helped them enough, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And maybe that's true. Maybe it is, maybe it isn't. I also think that the style that they play doesn't help him, because of course he'd be worn down by the time the playoffs come.
Right.
And maybe the Russ thing helps, but they're a team. He's a guy specifically that I think there's a lot riding on it, because people have just kind of given up on him. Like, all right, they had their chance. They got to two conference finals. It's over. You know, he blew it when he was young, when he was in the finals, but he was young. But most recently, the Rockets' failures, they fall on him, fair or not. So I think he's one of those guys with a ton of pressure on him.
Chris Paul getting injured doesn't fall on him, though. And I think that at that point when he got hurt and they had the Warriors sort of on the ropes and that never happened, that is when I unfortunately kind of gave up on how good and how top-heavy that, they, you know, sorry, what the top level of what the Rockets were going to be was.
Right.
Like, at this point, you know, for Morey to come out and say, I failed him, I get that. But, like, this doesn't make James Harden's career a failure. Like, a lot of dudes ran into Jordan and didn't win nothing. You know what I mean? Those guys were dream teamers, Hall of Famers, and top 100 guys, top 50 guys. And if James Harden ended up being one of those players, I'm not taking anything away from him. You know, they had an unfortunate situation when they had the best actual squad that they had constructed. You know, so for me, he's not on the other side of the hump per se, but I think that it would be I would be surprised if the Rockets made a super deep run, personally.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But that doesn't necessarily mean they can't.
Right. I mean, they've got the small ball. It was working for a while. Then at the end, you could tell they were getting worn down. But now they've had 3 months off. Like, does it help now? Like, yeah, there's a lot of things
there.
I think
it helps the Rockets. Yeah, but I don't think that puts them over the top.
Right. No, I'm with you. I don't think they're better than the Clippers or the Lakers. So let's switch over to Major League Baseball. Rob Manfred says 100%. Okay. He said, first he said unequivocally they're going to play. And then.
And then
our boy Carl Ravitch followed up and asked him, all right, are you guaranteeing? He says 100% guarantee that they're playing baseball. Salty negative Bergman over there is not buying it. Are you buying it?
I'm buying it, but I'm not buying that that's what everybody wants. Think about it this way. And Bergman, you'll like this because I'm a reporter and I'm a columnist. I hang out with people who play the games every once in a while. And yesterday I had lunch with a guy in the major leagues. And he said the word he used for the attitude of 30 to 40% of the guys he knew about coming back in the bigs was indifferent. And I was like, what? And he said, yeah, I mean, think about it. Like, between, just like the NBA situation, between the injury risk, between the quality of the game, between what you're going to have to do to get there, some of these guys are just like, dude, nah, you know? And if this is what ends up being the product on the big league field, jamming 50 games down our throat every single time a pitcher gets injured. Well, he's not coming back for the season. Let's get some other guy up. Oh, those other guys haven't even been playing because, hello, the minor leagues are done as well. All of a sudden, you're looking at a product and you're like, why'd you do this? That's entirely within the realm of possibility. Now, the best case scenario is that you get to around 75, 80 games and we got a little half season and we can have a little fun with it. And it feels like the process of the season happens and then we have an expanded playoffs. I'm hoping for that. But the chances of that are much lower than the chances of everything else. So I'm kind of on Greg's side with this, but for different reasons.
Yeah, he just doesn't believe in but can't Manfred just invoke his whatever commissioner clause? Like,
that's what I'm saying, is that playing the games doesn't mean that the gameplay is going to be good.
Right.
That's what I'm saying. It doesn't mean that who comes back is necessarily going to be the people that you want to see. And so the product is not necessarily going to be as attractive as most people think it would be.
Yeah, I don't care at this point. Like, if you don't want to play, like I said earlier with the NBA guys, like, if you don't want to play, I get it. I'm not going to knock you for it, but the things are clearly going to move on without you.
That's fine. And listen, I'm a guy who watches high school baseball on up, and that includes the college game, the international game, as well as professional leagues that are below the major leagues. I will watch the baseball. But I think some of these people who are fans of Major League Baseball and not really anything else are going to see a product and be like, okay. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's a difference, you know? And it shows. And I think it's going to show in 2020. And people are going to notice it more so than they're going to notice just the names on the jerseys.
Yeah, I guess we'll have to see. But look, I just think that ultimately, if you're one of these players, like if you're Clayton Kershaw, and I'm just using him as an example. If you're Clayton Kershaw, you were the one that was arguing against the bubble environment, which, for all intents and purposes, right, would be the safest scenario, right? And if you all of a sudden still don't want to play when they've given in and you're citing safety, which was the issue that Bergman was citing, then I don't believe you have a leg to stand on in that situation.
Okay, but what if you're a guy like Marcus Stroman? You're a free agent coming up, established pitcher, veteran. Are you going to waste your time risking
it? No, I get that way more than
I'm saying?
I get that part of it, sure.
Okay, but Marcus Stroman's a great player. You know, the Mets were a little squad. You know, I mean, if there's enough guys in positions like that, even if it's not necessarily free agency, where it doesn't have to be the big superstars, it's just that there's an anchor here or two on each team who's kind of like, nah, I'm good. All of a sudden, you got a completely different thing. I just warn baseball fans of that, is that that's where the labor issue becomes a problem, is that it's not just COVID at that point. It's about whether or not you're screwing with the integrity of the game by not allowing players to be paid what they're worth. That's where the whole conversation gets hairy. You know what I'm saying? And so I get it. People want to say, oh, well, you're just playing a game. Well, also, it's kind of not just that. So, and we know that now because nothing's being played. So, yes. Do I want baseball back? Again, I'm the biggest baseball fan I know. You know what I mean? So, yeah. But what I care about is the health of the game. And I don't necessarily know that a 50-game season in 2020 in Major League Baseball helps that.
I guess we'll have to wait to see, right? We'll have to kind of figure out what the hell's going to happen. But look, they are running out of time. Like, I think that time is not on their side at this point.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, we're losing a game a day at this point, you know? And that's a problem. So overall, I think that, you know, and players will tell you this too, the short run also affects, it also affects the baseball in terms of just what you're doing, you know? Like, if we talked about the health thing earlier, but it's a completely different season if you're only playing with a run that doesn't allow you to really get into your rhythms the same way. I'm sure it's cool from a competition standpoint because teams that probably wouldn't be in it would be in it. But in terms of how you're turning over your manpower, it's a totally different strategy, man. I'm telling you, it's going to look different. The baseball is if they don't play more than 75 games.
Let me get Reggie Bush in here before you go. How unfair was it that he became kind of the poster child for nefarious behavior in the NCAA for football?
You know, everybody who wasn't in LA or rooting for USC at that time, I think had a similar attitude to what I did, which was, you know, Pete Carroll was flashy. They had stars around practice all the time. They were kind of available to be hated on in a major way. And when the NCAA came down with that penalty, not only vacating wins, but giving back the Heisman, it's like, okay, guys. And then it's like, disassociation? It's like, oh, okay, you're trying to be mean. And that's really all it comes down to. Because what, I'm supposed to forget that Reggie Bush just torched Fresno State? I'm supposed to forget about the push against Notre Dame? I'm supposed to forget about these national championships? Are you insane? That doesn't even make sense. And so when you do something that specifically punishes the one connection that a player has to the one thing that they've already achieved and sort of force them into the pros with no regalia that they probably should have had, you're trying to hurt somebody's feelings beyond adjudicate any daggone rules. And I give Reggie Bush credit for like maintaining his composure, putting together a pretty solid NFL career, and being able to go back as a man to the USC stadium as a broadcaster and as a person. I would welcome him back. This is a better moment in college football than not, and I'm happy about it.
Yeah, I think it's great. I think it, look, better late than never, right?
Absolutely.
I also want to credit like Carol Folt and Mike Bone and just the new administration basically at USC, because the previous administrations were not very welcoming to him. Like they were just, they treated him like a leper, for lack of a better term.
Hating. Yeah. That's all there is to it. NCAA, man, get it together. Disassociation is not a thing.
Yeah, I agree. And look, same thing happened with the, you know, the Fab Five, right? Like they had to relinquish. Like we saw them win those Big Ten championships, right? Like all that, just that practice in itself, the NCAA drives me insane. Last one for you. Are you, when it comes to the NCAA, are you with me on like Power Five? Let's just go break off from the NCAA.
I wouldn't hate that. I wouldn't love that. I think I would like that more if I was a fan of a team in the Power Five. But as somebody that's just watching it all, I like it when a little guy gets to pop up and bang somebody in the head who didn't know it was coming. So from a business standpoint, from a fairness standpoint, of course I love it. From the privileged view of not really having any super affiliation to even the college that I went to, yeah, nah, it's not for me. But it's a smart American move as far as business is concerned and as far as fairness too.
Clinton, you're the best. When are you back on?
We don't have Sked out next week, so I'm not sure, but
okay, you're here, but regardless, you're here on Thursday with us, so there it is.
Yes,
okay,
absolutely.
And you got any work coming up? I know you mentioned the story.
Yeah,
that you've
I got the
working
column
on.
Coming out about NASCAR, and you know, for those of you who know me, I'm a professional journalist, but I'm also out here, so I know what's going on, but I don't cuss on the bird. And yesterday I cussed on Twitter because that is how amazing that move was from NASCAR. So the column's coming out today.
All right. Awesome. Make sure you check it out at The Undefeated. We'll talk to you next week, man. Thanks again.
Later, gang.
All right. See you. There he is. Clint Yates joins us every week. All right. Coming up next. Relax. Relax. What am I telling you to relax about? Find out in 3 minutes. Sedano with you here on 710 ESPN. Thanks to Clint Yates. Thanks to Ryan Abraham for joining us earlier. It's all presented by Progressive Insurance. Progressive's commercial insurance, you can get some of that as well through Progressive. It protects your business and your dream. Choose from over 30 coverage options at progressivecommercial.com. What is the name? How do you say the last name of our frontline worker who's going to be joining us for our Thank You Thursday? Susanna Twait? Greg Bergman?
Yes, 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 that is how it is spelled.
From Long
it looks
Beach.
Like.
She's going to be joining us, and she runs a nonprofit in Long Beach. She's been making masks for the homeless. She's doing a lot of great things in her community, so we're going to have her on very quickly in the next segment. We'll have a short segment here. We're going to have her on for a few minutes to talk about what she's been doing for the community. We're very appreciative of people like her. And again, we will have Thank You Thursdays every Thursday. Each show, it will alternate. Like last week, it was the morning show. This week, it's me. Next week, it'll be Mason in Ireland. And we will be doing our Thank You Thursdays presented by Valvoline Instant Oil Change. So make sure you stay tuned for that and listen to what someone in your community is doing, which is cool. So thanks to Susanna for joining us in a few minutes. We'll be happy to talk to her. Did you see this picture that I tweeted out? If you go to my Twitter right now, at Sedano, I tweeted a video of Nikola Jokic, and he's really thin.
So the opposite of Luka Doncic?
Yeah. And, you know, Nikola Jokic is kind of a chubby, would you say chubby, heavy, thick, right? Like, how would you describe
it? Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, no, he's a hefty guy.
Yeah.
But, I mean, he's really good, has great instincts.
No, he's unbelievable. But his conditioning has always been an issue, right? Kind of like Joel Embiid, right, in the past. And yeah. I tweeted out right now, if you go on my Twitter, at Sedano, and I wrote, it's like watching the Joker, that's his nickname, go from Jack's body to Joaquin's in a few months.
Yeah, that's pretty much what it looks like. I mean, he looks closer to Kristaps Porzingis' weight than he does what he used to. He looks like.
And that will be interesting because, the, you know, we talked about it the other day, like a team like the Denver Nuggets is talking big, right? Him and Jamal Murray was saying like they feel like they can play with anybody and that, you know, Jokic is one of the best players in the league. He's an MVP type candidate, which he is. He has been. And I think the knock has been like maybe he's not – doesn't have the quote-unquote killer instinct, all the stuff that they used to say about Dirk, right? And, you know, I've always said that Michael Porter Jr. may end up being the most important player for that team's future because he's just a ridiculous scorer, right? And he can rebound. And I think he has to defend a little better. But I've always thought that the Nuggets, if they keep that trio intact, right, of Jokic, Porter, if he grows into what we expect him to be, because remember, coming out of high school, he was supposed to be the best player in the league. And obviously Murray as kind of the third player that I thought that that group could be a contender for a long, long time if they kept that together and be in that conversation in the Western Conference. So I don't know if they're there just yet, but I am impressed by the way Nikola Jokic looks. I got to be honest. I didn't know that he had that in him, but it's impressive to see him.
Yeah, it could be go either way for him too because he doesn't have that – without having the weight, he can't really body guys as much as maybe he used to be able to, but his footwork is so smooth and so good that this
and his passing right. is incredible. Incredible.
Right. So this thinner body may make it so it makes him quicker. So with those quick moves that he has with the footwork, it may get a little bit better now here. So it just might be the inside the block type stuff that he might have a little bit of issue with.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll see. But I mean, he's still, you know, I don't know how much strength he's lost, but if right. he's quicker, that's not a bad thing, you know,
no,
for,
not
that,
at all.
For that team. So bad thing for opponents potentially, but not for him. So I've been trying to tell people to relax. Like I'm getting text messages from all my friends about the NBA because they're, you know, in the last 24 hours, including literally just a few minutes ago, getting text, about the NBA because, you know, Woj was on Get Up this morning, says there are players and a growing number of players who have more than a hesitation about going into the bubble. Look, I get all that. What I would tell you is, to my knowledge, this thing is basically a done deal. And if those guys don't want to go, oh well, they're going to get left behind. And I know that people may not want to hear that. And again, there's talk about them not getting paid if they don't show up to the bubble for the regular season games, unless they've got some sort of excused note from a doctor or something like that that says that there's a reason physically or from a health perspective that they can't be there. But this is happening. And Woj, by the way, today tweeted that they're even talking about forget July 31st. It's July 30th now. They're moving this thing up a day, the restart. So the overwhelming majority of players want to play. And the overwhelming majority of owners want to do this. And they've already passed their part of it. This thing is happening. Like, I'd be stunned, like floored if it didn't happen at this point. And I know that our buddy Matt Barnes was talking about maybe some Lakers and Clippers players not being interested in coming out and playing. And I think he had referenced some sort of, correct me if I'm wrong, Greg, but I believe his perspective, at least from the players he spoke to, was about the social circumstances that the country's dealing with right now. But here's what I would say to that. I don't see that being an issue because Adam Silver has been as open to having not only a dialogue, but letting his players demonstrate in any way, shape, or form that they feel necessary when it comes to racial injustice or social injustice or social unrest. So while I could see that there's absolutely players that feel that it's necessary to make that a point, I don't see the NBA stopping any players by any stretch of the imagination in expressing themselves freely.
No. And Adam Silver has been fantastic. And like Jaylen Brown of the Celtics he's been protesting with everybody and been very vocal about all that stuff. But still, like you said, Adam Silver has been fantastic. I want to go back to the Woj thing real fast. What is the significance of moving up from July 31st to July 30th? Why is one day such a big difference?
One day is a difference because it just gets you out earlier. You know what I'm saying? Right? Like, I think that there's that. Right. I also think that, look, I'm going to look at the date. Like, I don't know what day July 30th is, but let me take a quick look. July 30th is a Thursday. Maybe
close to a Friday.
Maybe it's this. Maybe it's just Now, this could be a business thing. I don't know what this is like, right? But Ramon and I were talking about it yesterday. ESPN is going to have the we're in control of the broadcast, including TNT's in that sense. Like, they're taking our feed. And maybe it's like, okay, since ESPN has the finals, can TNT have the first set of games as the restart? Like, maybe it's just as simple as a business thing.
Okay, see, that makes sense. If it's so, if you're saying like, okay, TNT, you take the first games of the season, I get that. Then it
yeah,
makes
it
sense
could be that. I don't know that to be the case, so please don't aggregate me out there. That is just a guess on my part.
Right, but I see, because I was wondering, I saw the tweet and I was like, all right, great. That's one day earlier we get to watch basketball, but okay, why is this such a big deal? And if that is the thing, then that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, I mean, that's just a guess. Like, again, just because, you know, there is a business perspective here and a business aspect of that stuff. And my guess is that that would have something to do with it, you know?
Yeah, well, look, if you're having Charles, Kenny, and Shaq and EJ on there, you know, that's going to be – that's a much better way to start the season. Everybody will sit down and watch TNT to watch that, to see them. So I actually like that.
Yeah, I just think it's just like, again, like, okay, well, ESPN's production is in charge, but, you know – can we get something too? And maybe that's what it came down to. Again, I don't know that to be the case. I am 100% recklessly speculating about this. And I don't know that to be the case, but it seems logical to me.
Yeah, and I like it. I want to see Shaq again. I want to see Charles again going back and forth with each other. That's
well, but they'll be doing that anyway. They're just not doing it from the bubble. They're doing it from Atlanta.
Right, but being that first day, that's the best way to say, hey, welcome back to the NBA.
Yeah, it's fine. For sure. It's totally fine. So I think that probably has something to do with the way it's going down. I asked Clinton, I get your thoughts. Outside of LeBron, Kawhi, and Giannis, who are guys that you think have a lot of pressure on them? Guys that you think have something to prove here? Even if it's like small, it doesn't mean winning a championship.
Who has something to prove right here?
Yeah, like we mentioned James Harden, right? Joel Embiid, guys like that.
I think, I mean, sticking with the Rockets, Russell Westbrook has something to prove here.
That's a good one, too. That is a good one, too.
He's not the guy that ruins things everywhere he goes.
Right, because there is that sense, right, when Kevin Durant left him. That's not a bad one. That's actually pretty good.
I think Chris Paul is another one that has a lot to prove, that he can make it further and show what he did.
It's going to be harder now, though. He doesn't have the teammates around him. Like, he's been awesome this year, but he doesn't have, like, this tremendous team around him, you know?
Right, but that's still another one. And I think Anthony Davis with the Lakers, I think he has a lot.
That's a good one. That is a good one. You know what? We'll open it to the phones, 877-710-ESPN, 877-710-3776. Outside of the three obvious, LeBron, Kawhi, and Giannis, who has the most to prove and why coming into this NBA playoffs postseason season that we're going to resume here? 877-710-ESPN, 877-710-3776. We also will take a few minutes to talk to Susanna Twait, who is our frontline worker, our Thank You Thursday recipient today. She was nominated from Long Beach. We'll talk to her. We'll take your calls as well. Sedano, 710 ESPN, back in three. The Sedano Show continues here on 710 ESPN, presented by Progressive Insurance. All our guests appear via the Shell Penzoa Performance Line, like Susanna Twait, who is one of our frontline workers that we want to salute, just a great member of the community for our Thank You Thursdays. We'd like to welcome Susanna Twait, who runs a nonprofit in Long Beach. Susanna, thank you so much for taking the time, and of course, thank you even more for what you do in the community. I know that your nonprofit is called Wrap the Kids. Can you tell us a little bit about it?
Yes. Hi, everybody. We are a nonprofit that it's actually we help the homeless, and we make handmade quilts, and we donate them to children, and it's the homeless volunteers that makes them. And right now, our volunteers is helping us on the front line, our homelessness. They're homeless people also, and we do a lot of work. But right now we're making masks and getting the hand sanitizers and the gloves and putting them in a bag, and they're able to go down to where their camps are, you know, where they're living under the bridges, in the riverbeds, since they know where they're all at, and they're making sure that they're aware of the virus and protected as much as we can protect them.
Susanna, to date, like how many have you been able, how many bags and masks and things of that nature have you been able to provide? for the community?
Today, about, I would say, 270.
Okay.
Right now.
Okay, great. Yeah. Great. About and how long does it how long does it take you to put all that stuff together? Because I would imagine it does take some time.
It takes a little bit. It takes about, okay, in a day, we make about 30 masks.
Right.
Okay, and then to put the bags together, that takes no time at all. It's just getting them out there. We like to make sure we have a lot enough at one time to where we don't have to send them back out to the same area. But we do all of North Long Beach. Anybody actually that needs them, we supply them.
That's great to hear.
It started with a lady coming in here, and when this first started, she couldn't find any masks for her son that had leukemia. And so she brought me some material and asked me if I could possibly make a mask that was washable. And so I did, and that's how that all started.
Wow. Yeah, I was just going to ask you, like, you know, what was kind of the inspiration for all of this? That's certainly a great reason to be inspired about all of this. How often are you guys getting out, you and the group getting out, to provide these things?
Every day.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, we go out every day. We make sure every day. And, so, you know, a lot of the homeless people did not know about the virus at all. You know, they didn't know why they weren't being able to be let in stores because they don't have TV, they don't have radio.
Yeah,
you know,
they don't have the awareness.
A lot of them
don't
come out of their encampments until nighttime. So, but we help them get their IDs and their birth certificates and help them with court issues. We do a lot. Mailing addresses. We help them find jobs, get in touch with their families, take them on court order visits for their children. Yeah, we do a lot here. Give clothes and hygiene, food.
Wow. Yeah, that's fantastic stuff. I mean, that is really, I mean, you're the type of people that we need more of, Susanna. There's no question about that. Do you know who nominated you? Of course, you're welcome. Do you know who nominated you?
No, I think he's always trying to nominate me, and that's our grant writer, John Andrews, I think.
Oh, okay. Great. Yeah. I just wanted to make sure you knew. Yeah, for sure. So Susanna Twait, again, runs a nonprofit in Long Beach. It's called Wrap the Kids, a volunteer organization, also serving the homeless and unsheltered. And again, she's been providing masks. She's making masks, 30 masks a day, and, you know, out there almost 300 masks in general, helping the homeless community, as you heard her say, find jobs, just have awareness, and just do what they can to kind of help them, you know, just in general, right? Because it's an issue for all of us here, not just during a pandemic, but obviously just in general, Susanna. So thank you. Yeah, for sure.
All
for
year
sure.
Round.
Thank you so much.
Our website is wrapthekids.org.
Yeah, well, that was what I was going to ask you before I let you go. So what is it again one more time?
Wrapthekids.org.
Yeah, wrapthekids as wrapthekids.org. Wrapthekids.org. Susanna, thank you so much for being really a pillar of the community and doing what you do. Thank you again, and congratulations. And please continue to do what you're doing. We really appreciate it, and we love it. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
you got it. Take care. There she is, Susanna Twait. Wrapthekids.org is where you find her. All right. Man. Look, I'm glad we're doing this stuff because, look, everybody needs help here right now. And look, the stunning part of all of that, which really shouldn't be stunning, like, it's just stuff that we all live in our own silos and bubbles. Like, Bergman, did it ever dawn on you? Laura, did it ever dawn on you that the homeless people didn't even know we're dealing with a pandemic? I get it makes all the sense in the world that they wouldn't know.
I was thinking about it when she said it. I was like, oh, that's a really good point. You just don't even think about that. It's obvious and it's true, but you're like, oh, my God, I can't even – imagine what they're going through, not being able to see or hear anything and just walking to stores and not being understanding why they can't go in.
Yeah, it is pretty wild, right, Laura? Like, that was one of the things that was the most enlightening thing about that conversation. Obviously, what she does is the most important thing, but something that enlightening in the sense that it didn't dawn on me.
Yeah, I think for a lot of people, they don't think about that. I have friends that have been doing that. They are huge. Like, we volunteer a lot with the homeless community. So we've kind of been also just kind of pushing that message. Like, this is why you have to wear a mask. This is why we're, you know, giving. Because they're used to, like, the toothbrush, the toothpaste. But then when you're giving them these extra things, they're like, I don't need that. What is this for? So just kind of educating them on that.
Yeah. And again, she's our part of our Thank You Thursdays presented by Valvoline Instant Oil Change. Susanna Twait, thanks again to her. She received and we awarded her a $500 thank you gift, which includes $200 service to Valvoline Instant Oil Change and three $100 gift cards, one to Wingstop, one to VSLiquors.com. VS Liquor, no S at the end, VSLiquor.com and Shooteria.com. So thanks again to her, for sure. So before the break, I asked people about the NBA's return, and outside of the obvious LeBron and Kawhi and Giannis, like who's got the most pressure on them? Who's someone that needs to step up, even if it's just for incremental gain? It's not necessarily about a championship. And we'll go back to Long Beach now. Cecil is on hold. Cecil, who do you got?
Hey, how you doing there, George? Thanks for taking my call, man. For me, it has to be the Pelicans and the Baby Lakers, because before the season, I had them as like top five.
The Baby Lakers on the Pelicans. That is interesting. Yeah, they have their chance to try to prove something, Cecil, and they're gonna have they can try to fight their way into the playoffs. And look,
and that would definitely be enough. You know what I mean? Just getting in there, maybe stealing a couple games from LeBron.
Right. Though I don't think Laker fans want to hear stealing a couple games, Cecil. You don't want them getting all crazy. You know what I'm saying? Cecil, stay healthy, stay safe, man. Thanks for calling in.
You as well, partner.
All right, take care. Let me go to Maywan. Is that how you say your name?
Yes, it's Maywan.
Okay. Like, oh, Maywan. My apologies. Sorry.
No problem. Thank you for taking my call. I was going to say, I think Anthony Davis has all the pressure in the world, being that he's never been on a great team.
Yeah,
and that's always been the thing, is he's a top five all-time player, but, you know, never got out of second round. So I think all the pressure is on Anthony Davis and also Kemba Walker, somebody else who's had a great career, just never on a great team.
Ooh, that is a good one, too.
I am a Celtics fan, so I hope Kemba gets it together.
Yeah, that is a good one, too, Maywan. Thank you so much, man. Stay healthy, stay safe, okay?
Thanks.
All right, coming up next. We'll take more of your calls at 877-710-ESPN. Who has the most pressure on them coming into this bubble playoffs, campus environment playoffs for the NBA? We'll have some of that for you on the other side. We'll take more of your calls at 877-710-ESPN. And also, Philip Rivers, annoyed by gas bags like me. That and Jerry Jones is all of a sudden really silent. Man who loves a microphone anytime it's in front of him. We'll get to that. More of your calls. Sedano, back in 3 minutes. Sedano with you here on 710 ESPN, presented by Progressive Insurance. Don't forget to tune into the ESPN Daily Podcast with our friend Mina Kimes, bringing you a deep dive into a single story from one of ESPN's hundreds of reporters, presented by Marathon. Download, subscribe, and review the ESPN Daily, available wherever you enjoy your podcast. During the break, we were talking, because Laura, you've been saying you've been going on a lot of hikes lately. And the last couple of days, not yesterday, but the two previous days, I went on back-to-back 8-mile hikes.
Wow.
And man, I was feeling it. I am a little sore. Like I probably should take a day off, but I'm going to power through. I went way less yesterday. I only did like 5 miles.
No, you know what? I did 5-6 straight hikes, and the longest one was 7. Everything else was around 4 miles, so it wasn't too bad. But my knees were killing me, and I told my mom I have to take. So I took 2 days off from hiking. So today I have to go on at least a good 5 to 6 mile hike.
Yeah. I also think that, there are ways to make your body feel better. I mean, you can do whatever you need to do. But I'm not saying it's not over-the-counter. You could take some over-the-counter medicine, too, like an Aleve or something. But there are other ways, or more herbal ways to do that as well, if you need to do that. Bergman, I feel like you haven't left your house, and you're definitely not exercising.
I was going to say that.
I mean, I leave the house to go walk around every once in a while. I walk the dog. If I got to walk to Rite Aid for something, you know, there's one right across the street. nope, that's it. Yeah, I don't do any of the
You got to get some exercise, man. I think that would... some of that negativity would just get out of your system. You know what I mean? If you just went for a little bit of a walk, you know?
You know, for the whole negativity thing is you not agreeing with things that I say, and then therefore I'm negative.
I mean, you're just negative. I got to be honest.
All right. However, I'm a very sense happy, the negativity. Positive person. So, you know,
when it comes to Rob Manfred, apparently.
No, are you positive about Rob Manfred?
No, I mean, not specifically, but I do think that baseball is going to happen, if I had to guess.
Yeah, I think that he may try and force it, but I don't think it's going to happen the way that we want it to.
Right. Okay. Fair enough. We'll see. All right, so we've got some breaking news from Shams Charania of The Athletic. And he says, sources, the NBA is planning to allow teams to bring up to 17 players per roster, including two ways, so the G League guys, into the resumed season. Previous estimate was a 15-player limit, which is good. You need the expanded rosters. Because, and by the way, you know who that puts pressure on?
Who?
Those 30 or 40 guys that, you know, role player types that are out there saying that, you know, maybe they don't want to play for a bunch of different reasons because of their contract situation, which is understandable, or their safety or the family or whatever. And because the NBA's come out and said, hey, man, look, you don't want to come out? Cool. We get it. But, you know, we're going to move on without you. You know?
So is that 15 players plus two two-way players that you can bring, or is it 17 players plus the two two-way players?
No. 17 max is the at the moment is the roster limit, as opposed to 15.
Gotcha. Okay.
Yeah. So let's go to Alfonso in L.A. who wants to tell us who's got pressure on them in this bubble.
Hey, guys. I think the entire Clippers organization.
Okay.
I mean, because, you know, they put this – try to put this super team together. I'm not rooting for them. I'm a diehard Laker fan, just say that first. But they got to prove something. They've had good players, but now they got this quote-unquote super team, and they got to get that curse off their back, so to speak. So they got a lot to prove.
You know, Alfonso, you're not wrong, and thank you for the call, man. Stay healthy, stay safe. But he's not wrong, Bergman. Like, the Clipper curse is still a real thing until it's proven otherwise, right?
Right, they haven't gotten out of the second round. They've even had to go. They had a 3-1 lead. Was against the Rockets a couple of years ago, and then lost
they did.
Seven.
Yes, the Blake Griffin team. Yep.
Let's just keep it going.
Yeah, I see.
Whoa!
Here.
Whoa!
Yeah, let's keep that curse going. I'm not mad at it. I don't want to see. Yeah.
Whoa.
Clippers? Who? What? No.
Mm-mm. Whoa! Whoa!
I've never liked Laura more than this moment right now.
Wow! Look at you. All of a sudden, positive Greg. There you go. There we go. Positive Greg all of a sudden. Good Lord. Yeah, listen, I think they're on a collision course with the Lakers in the conference finals, though, right? Would you think that? So is that part of the curse? Do you believe that part of the curse will be broken, Greg?
If they get to the conference finals, then yeah, it kind of has to be.
What if, like, you think there's a chance they don't?
Look, the curse is real. You just were saying how the curse is real. So they have to get out of the second round to break that curse. And then the curse will be to get into the finals because they're not getting in there this year.
You don't think they're beating the Denver Nuggets potentially in this?
Look, you were just talking about how great Nikola Jokic looks and how
much
it's going to help his game.
I still don't think they can beat Kawhi. Like, they don't have anybody to guard Kawhi or Paul George even.
No, I don't. I don't think so either. I think they are going to get to the conference finals, but I do think they're going to lose to the Lakers, and that's not just being Laker boy. I think that the Lakers are a better team.
Give it to me right now. Call your shot right now, Greg Bergman.
Ooh.
Lakers in what?
Against the Clippers?
Yes.
Six.
Wow. Six?
Five.
Yeah.
Five. I'm going bold. Leave me alone.
We've already seen the Clippers. They are going to play them tough. It's always going to come down to the fourth quarter, and it's going to be just a back and forth game. I think that they're going to take some games, especially not having the home court advantage that they have here in LA for every single game, that they're going to win a couple of them. But the Lakers are going to win 6-4-2.
Wow. I'm surprised you guys at this point didn't just say Lakers in three. You know what I'm saying? Like,
well, you want me to be honest. If you want me to be Laker boy, then yeah, Lakers in three. It's easy.
I mean, good Lord. Wow.
No, it will be seven, but they'll take it.
Yeah.
I don't think it's going to be seven.
Really? Why don't you think it's going to be seven?
I think that the way that the Lakers came together and how they were playing at the end of the year, I know it's going to take a little bit to get back to that, but they came together really quickly to start the year off too. I just think that the way that they are built and the way that Anthony Davis and LeBron James work off each other so well, and it didn't take any time whatsoever, that I think they're just a better team. Kawhi Leonard and Paul George are complementary pieces, but it took them a little bit to kind of figure themselves out, and now they have to refigure themselves out, whereas LeBron and Anthony don't.
I want people to call their shot right now. Get on the record. 877-710-ESPN, 877-710-3776. You've got Lakers or Clippers in what? Give it to me right now. So, Laura, when we get the lines lit and we start going to them, because I want to get to this Phillip Rivers and Jerry Jones thing real quick, because we got about 7 minutes left in the show. Once we get them on, also get Randy Newman, I Love LA, ready, because I want people to give their get on the record and call their shot while that song is playing in the background, okay? So let's do that. In the interim, let's do Jerry Jones first, because I need you to focus on with me here. Jerry Jones, super quiet all of a sudden. Mr. Nobody on my team is going to kneel. All of a sudden, who loves a microphone, the only owner in sports who does his own press conferences out of nowhere, all of a sudden being quiet. My man Ryan Clark on Get Up nailed this about Jerry Jones. Let me hear that before you get to the calls.
For Jerry Jones to come out right now and make a statement and say that Black Lives Matter, to make a statement and say that there needs to be change in this world, I feel that would be going against what he believes. See, Jerry Jones is doing what the owners do. Jerry Jones is focusing on the people that he cares about. Those are the people that sit in the rooms that he sits in. Those are the people that gets to make decisions on what those black faces do. He's going to stand where he's always stood. He's not going to let the pressure of society, the pressure of his players, or the pressure of actual people making changes. He's going to stay where Jerry Jones is. He's going to be on his yacht. He's going to be rich, and he's going to be white.
I mean, he's not wrong. Silence. Listen, this is not the time to be silent, Jerry Jones, okay? You act like you're the player's owner, right? Like in that sense, like, you know how they say there's a player's coach. You took a very hard stance here, and now the world is changing underneath you. Where are you right now, Jerry Jones? And look, I know that beyond Rams, Raiders, and Charger fans here in LA, I would say, Bergman, would it be safe to say that the next group of fan bases are probably Steelers and Cowboys?
Yes, absolutely.
As far as like how many fans there are here, Cowboys probably more than anyone else outside of the Southern California teams, or the California teams. I'd include the Niners in there too, because of Oxnard, because of their training camp, right? Like you would assume there's plenty of Cowboy fans here. And I would imagine that Cowboy fans, some of them can't be thrilled. Cowboy fans, I did see this note in a story the other day, that there are more African-American Cowboy fans than any other fan base in the country. Like, of all the NFL fan bases, the fan base that has the most African-American fans, the most black fans, are the Cowboys. And if I were you, I'd be like, yo, Jerry, you love those microphones. Where are you at now, Jerry? Huh? Ryan Clark nailed that.
He was absolutely right on everything that he said there too. And the fact that he's not saying something is kind of telling. I wonder what it's going to do to that fan base, because they've never really liked Jerry, right? I mean, he's been,
well, it's been like a love-hate relationship, right? For sure.
Right.
Real quick, by the way, Phillip Rivers also super annoyed at his critics who are saying that he's washed up. Here's the thing. I would say this before we get to the calls here. I would say this to Phillip Rivers. You're going to a team that has a much better offensive line than the team you left, and a coach you're way more familiar with than Frank Reich, but you don't have the skill position players or the defense that your previous team had. So I would just be careful, is all I'm saying. We're going to see how that relationship with Frank Reich really helps and how big the offensive line is going to be for him, because he's no spring chicken. As much as I'm a fan of Phillip Rivers, I don't know if you should be going out there beating that drum. All right, give me Randy Newman, Laura. Give me Randy Newman. As we get people on the record, call your shot. Lakers, Clippers, right now. We're going to do this a couple of times before the season starts. Rich and Covina, call your shot. Go.
Hey, it's going to be Clippers in four.
Whoa! Clippers in four. Rich and Covina.
Wow. Why are you laying that on, Laura? Stop it. Why are you laying that on?
By the way, someone tweeted in. I just want to make sure to get. Gary tweeted in, promote Laura now, is what Gary says. Nothing about you, though, Bergman. Patrick in Arcadia. Call your shot, Patrick.
Well, I'm with the guy in Covina, although he's been at home too long, and not in four, but Clippers in seven in the pandemic championship, and there will be an asterisk, and they won't get respect. But Clippers in seven.
Wow, we got Clippers fans showing up, Bergman.
All of a sudden.
Uh-oh. Nate in Rancho Santa Margarita. Nate, what do you got? Call your shot.
I got Clippers in seven.
What? The Clipper fans are flooding the lines. Nate, be good.
No. This is one guy calling from three separate phones.
No, Clipper fans are showing up. You see, you say they don't exist. They're there. Vahid in La Mirada. Vahid.
Yes, sir. 100% Clippers in six.
What? Oh, my. Four straight Clipper calls. Where are all the Laker fans here? This is insane. Thank you, Vahid. Bergman, what do you say for your people? You used to run a Laker blog, for God's sake.
Like I've said, this is one guy calling from four different phones.
So no chance. Laura's too smart for that.
Why Laura's allowing these people on the air. What are you doing?
Monsine in L.A. Monsine, call your shot.
Hey, I'm a huge Clipper fan. Laura and Bergman, you guys are wrong. Clippers in five.
Wow! Five straight Clipper calls! I don't think that's ever happened.
Now, I want to know if these Clipper fans were fans before this year, or if it's all...
Oh, look at you, making excuses. One more. Ja'Cory in Santa Ana. Ja'Cory, call your shot.
Hey, in memory of Kobe Bryant, Lakers in six all day, all night, every day of the week.
Whoa, good catch, Ja'Cory. Almost cursed. Good catch. All right, stay safe, stay healthy. Well... At least it made me wonder. Oh, okay. All right, we're done here. Thanks to the callers. Thanks to our guests, Clinton and Ryan, today. Thanks to Susanna Twait. Thanks to Greg and Laura. We love you guys. Stay healthy. Stay safe. We'll talk to you tomorrow at 10. See ya. Call your shot.